Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend where you happen to be this weekend. As you know, George Clooney played me in the movie. I'm on planes left and right, day and night, crisscrossing the country, and in this case, a couple of bodies of water. So get out your maps if you want to know where we are. Last week, we were from Gulf Shores, Alabama, ground zero in the Gulf oil spill, and watching developments there. I should also tell you that there's a concert coming up in a couple of days from Gulf Shores starring Jimmy Buffett and Kenny Chesney to try to raise not only money but awareness about what's going on down there to get you all to come down there and help. And if you can, you should go to our website, petergreenberg.com, to learn all the different relief organizations and agencies doing the essential work down there and how you can get not just involved financially, but how you can get involved physically. And if you got kids, what a great opportunity for them to go down there and be of help. It's the best present you can give them as well. You want to know where we are today? Get out your maps. 19 degrees, 39 minutes north, 155 degrees, 59 minutes west. We are on the Big Island of Hawaii, in particular at the Kona Village Resort in Kona. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. You know there are only 12 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet, but I know five of them. Aloha. Actually, that's not even five. That's only four because they use the A twice. But in any case, lots of interesting stuff about that we'll be talking about during the show. And we're also going to be talking about the sort of the net effect of what happens when you have an Olympics games, whether they're winter or summer, or in this case, the World Cup in South Africa. Because guess what they just started in South Africa? Boy, talk about embarrassing us again. High-speed trains. There's a high-speed train in South Africa. We're going to be talking a little bit about that with our pal Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times. What's going on with Disney? Changes in the dress code. How do you like that? And of course, the real numbers about trouble in Mexico. You've heard all the stories about trouble in Jamaica. Well, trouble in Mexico. And should you or shouldn't you go, you might be surprised by what I have to say. And last but not least, I got to go on the warpath here, but tell you there's some good news. And that's this. Think about this when it comes to frequent flyer miles. There are 17 trillion, I'm not making this number up, 17 trillion unredeemed frequent flyer miles out there, most of which are going to go and expire because people are simply going to give up trying to redeem them. That's outrageous. What was the inducement for you to join a frequent flyer program? That when you got 25,000 miles, you'd be on a beach with a piña colada stuck up your nose. And guess what? When you get to 25,000 miles, there are either no seats available or they play the game of extortion. And they tell you, well, we don't have them at 25,000, but we got them at 50. And you reluctantly give away more miles than you ever thought you'd ever have to give away when you joined the program to begin with. But forgetting that, it's even worse. Why? The airlines have parked over 800 planes in the deserts of New Mexico, Arizona, and California. That's roughly the equivalent of taking one complete U.S. airline totally out of business. This summer, not only is there less capacity, there are fewer planes, fewer flights, and fewer seats, and that's just for revenue passengers. So what are your odds of redeeming your frequent flyer miles? You'd be better off going to an art supply store, getting a picture frame, and hanging them on the wall. So are you out of luck? And the answer is no. That's why I do a radio show, to tell you what to do. You got to start thinking alternate routes and alternate airports. I had a friend of mine who wanted to go from Los Angeles to Honolulu on Delta Airlines with all of his hard-earned miles. Nobody would cash him in at Delta. Finally got a supervisor on the phone who said, okay, we'll make an exception for you. And you know how they flew him to Honolulu from Los Angeles? Get the map out. L.A., Salt Lake, Atlanta, Honolulu. Are you nuts? But guess what? He did it. He did it because at least he got here. That's not the point. You got to start thinking alternate routes. And if you want to go from Los Angeles to Honolulu, you might want to think of going through Las Vegas or Phoenix. There might be more seats available. Or think alternate airports entirely, like Providence instead of Boston, or Oakland instead of San Francisco, or my favorite little secret airport, Milwaukee instead of O'Hare, or my real secret airport, Islip Airport in New York instead of LaGuardia, Newark, or Kennedy. But then there's another piece of silver lining that is finally happening. It's about transparency. It's about full disclosure, and it's about finally allowing you to use the miles you've worked so hard to earn. You may have seen the advertisements for a new credit card called Venture. It's from the Capital One guys. Now, they've got all these promotions going on. You get double mileage, and there's no blackout periods, and there's no cap to the number of miles you can earn, and there's no expiration dates. Well, that's great, but it still begs the question, now that you have all those miles, how do you redeem them? Are you in the same problem bucket? No, you're not, because it's not about redeeming miles on an individual airline. The miles that you earn, there's a financial formula. So 30,000 miles equals $300 in your account. They'll literally go out and buy you the ticket. No airline's going to deny you a ticket that you're purchasing. So for once, there's a credit card that lets you earn miles that you can actually use. It translates into dollars, and you go out. And by the way, it's not just airline flights. You can buy a cruise ship berth. You can buy a rental car. You rent a rental car. You can buy a train ticket. Whatever you want to do, hotel rooms. It's money in your account, and you know what you get. That finally, the necessity being the mother of invention, they finally come across with something that actually makes sense. So check it out. It's the Venture card. Now, by the way, this is coming from a guy who gets his miles on another credit card. In my case, it's linked to United Airlines, just because I have so many miles on every other airline. And so I'm sitting around giving you advice, and I can't redeem my miles, okay? There are only about five people in the world that have more miles than I do, and I still can't redeem my miles. So take it from me. Hey, you know what I'll do? I'll give you my miles. So instead of me dying trying to redeem them, I'll let you die trying to redeem them in another lifetime, perhaps. But in the meantime, if you really want to use your miles that you've got on those traditional programs like I do, go with partner airlines and their strategic alliances, whether it's Oneworld or Star or SkyTeam. Think 330 days out and pick a flight you've never wanted to go on to a place you never thought of going. But if you can get that ticket, guess what? You're going, and you'll have a great experience. People should just do it as a random dartboard thing to see what they can redeem miles for and where they can go. And I'm not talking about going to Des Moines on a Wednesday night at midnight. I'm talking about going to a place you've always heard about, thought about. Instead of Madison, Wisconsin, how about Madagascar? Instead of Honolulu, how about Hiroshima? I mean, think outside the box here, beat the airlines at their own game, and redeem those miles, because the airlines are changing the rules by the hour, and they're devaluing the programs by the hour. Will they ever get rid of the programs? Never. They make too much money for the airlines, and besides, there are too many lawyers and judges who are members, and those judges would gladly hear those cases. So take it from me, do not stop. Do not pass go. Go immediately and figure out a way to redeem those miles on routes, on airports, and in destinations you never even thought about. And then write me at peter@petergreenberg.com and tell me how your trip went that you never planned on taking. It's a whole lot better than letting those miles just sit there and fester. All right, I'm done on that. But coming up next, our pal Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times. And Jane's going to be talking about the South African high-speed trains. Why can't we have high-speed trains in this country? Well, if you read the stories this week, you'll hear what I've already talked about. Because Amtrak doesn't own the tracks. It's owned by the freight lines, and they won't get rid of them. As a result, guess what? You're going slow, you're going slower, or you're not going at all. When we come back, Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times with that, Disney's dress code, which might surprise you, and our philosophy on whether you should or shouldn't go to Mexico, considering what's going on down there, or maybe what's not going on down there. Back with more from the Kona Village Resort on the Big Island of Hawaii with Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. With new RVs starting at just $5,000, years of great vacations just got more affordable and convenient. To get started on your road trip dream, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Kona Village on the Big Island of Hawaii. 82 acres, and I've been coming to this place for a long, long time, and I'm almost proud to say it really hasn't changed. You can't say that about a lot of places, and they have steadfastly refused to be technically up to speed. My BlackBerry works in the room, though. It does work in the room, but you're not going to get a telephone call in there. You're not going to watch TV in there. You actually are forced to contemplate life. What a concept, while you're on vacation. It's talking about fish out of water, for me anyway. But you know what? After about 5 days, you don't miss it. Anyway, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. You know what? Somebody just handed me a note. Okay, just because they handed me the note, I'm going to say it. I just said, you know, I'm disconnected. They call it. I'm going to say it the way they would say it in a very breathless way here at Kona Village. You're unplugged. You're unplugged. Barefoot luxury, you're unplugged. Right, okay, thank you. Okay, fine. I don't have my TV. I don't have my telephone. Okay, I'm done. Now, moving right along. But I'm not complaining, by the way. Moving right along, here's a question for all of you. You know, it's one thing for me to say I hate a certain airport, and believe me, I have my Hall of Fame hits of the worst airports in the United States and certainly my worst airports in the world. But what defines a bad airport other than the fact that it's poorly laid out, poorly designed, nobody leaves on time, nobody arrives on time, and the food sucks? Shall I continue? How about this? The most unrealistic connecting times between flights. That's the biggest lie going. You know, I was on a flight the other day on Delta Airlines, and they told me that my flight landed in Atlanta at 35 minutes after the hour, and my next flight took off at 58 minutes after the hour, and they call that a legal connecting time. Are they nuts? And you want to know something? My flight landed at 39 minutes after the hour, and the only thing that saved me was that I landed at gate A4, and my connecting flight was leaving from gate A1. And thank God I didn't check any bags, because if I checked the bags, I'd still be missing those bags. Here's the rule of thumb. If anybody gives you a connecting time of less than an hour and a half, we're talking 90 minutes, they are delusional. And if anybody talks to you, and that's in this country, and overseas, here's the bigger myth. At Heathrow, they tell you you need at least 3 hours to connect to flights. They're being kind. Because guess what? I checked the fine print. You know what the minimum connecting times are for your bags? 4.5. So they'll ticket you with a 3-hour connect time, and your bags will never catch up to you. So if you're going to connect at Heathrow, first of all, you know you're going with God. Second of all, if you're going to do it anything less than 4.5 hours, you're kidding yourself. And on our website, petergreenberg.com, we're going to list the biggest offending airports with the most unrealistic connecting times. What a perfect segue to our next guest, who is probably laughing about this because she's probably been missing her bags from Heathrow for the last 5 years anyway. Reporter for the Los Angeles Times and a regular on the show, Jane Engel. Hey, Jane.
Hi, Peter. Yes, I have. You know, I have been listening to what you've been saying about that, and yes, it is amazing. Often, when you do a search for flights, the first flights that are going to come up are with those short connecting times. Something you really have to watch when you book on the net.
And even though it's legal, it doesn't mean it's not suicidal. I mean,
exactly.
Seriously. I mean, now remember, even if it's a legal connection, if you got to go from Terminal B or C in Miami to Terminal E, you're talking at least a half an hour of running. So take that into account as well. But speaking of running, to introduce your segment, Jane, I was talking about the embarrassment we have in this country of no real high-speed trains. And I guess it takes an annual, not even an annual, an every four-year event like the World Cup or an every four-year event like the Summer or the Winter Olympics for different countries and cities to get their act together when it comes to mass transportation. And now South Africa inaugurated a high-speed train.
Yes, it has, you know, and you wouldn't necessarily expect to find one in Africa, but they have just started creating it. They opened it up this month. It's called the Gautrain. They opened up just the first short link between the Johannesburg airport and a community area called Sandton.
Well, that's, you know what? I've been to Sandton. I could bike ride that distance. I'm serious. There's a hotel called the Michelangelo. There's a hotel called the Hilton. It's just a little suburb outside of Johannesburg.
Yeah, it is a short way. So this was really a first baby step. But the grand plan is to build a $4 billion train, high-speed train, that's going to link Pretoria, Sandton, Johannesburg, the airport. It's going to have 10 stations. And that's going to be fantastic because, as you know, from having driven around there, and I've tried to fight my way into the Johannesburg
airport. Oh, yeah, the
airport.
Traffic's terrible, yeah.
It's bad, and, you know, in theory, it is a 45-minute drive to get between Pretoria and Johannesburg. Not, you know, it can be a couple of hours or more, and with all the construction they've been doing, even more
but
than
by
that.
The way, but by the way, if you can get to Pretoria, there's a train that leaves from Pretoria that goes all the way up to Victoria Falls. One of the most amazing train rides I've ever had in the world, and it's not the Blue Train, and it's not the Orient Express. It's called Rovos Rail. And Rojas Vaughn is the guy who started. He found all these old rail cars on a siding that hadn't been used in years with a beautiful wainscoting. And he got South African Railways to let him put them on their tracks. These are old steam engines. I mean, this is Out of Africa Part 3, starring you.
Boy, that sounds like an amazing train. I didn't get to do a lot of things when I popped down to South Africa last year, but that sounds like one to put on the list.
It really is. And you know what? In my book, it makes the Orient Express look like Ding Dong School. I'm telling you, it's a great, great train. Let's shift gears for a second and talk about what's going on with the dress code at Disney. This is a new one.
Yeah, you know, it is a new one. Disney has been famous for its buttoned-up look, literally, right? But they've begun to really kind of change things up. And the latest pronouncement they've had, women who work for Disney theme parks no longer have to wear pantyhose. Can you believe it? You've made my weekend. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Yes, but they haven't relaxed one rule. Mickey still won't talk to you. I'm so upset about that. He won't talk to me.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that you should mention that because, as you may have read, they do have plans to allow Mickey to talk to you, and they've been kind of under wraps, and they've been experimenting with it on a new show. there's just lots of new things going on at Disney.
I have to tell you something.
As you may have read, Michelle Obama, the First Lady, and the kids were just out there at the Disney California Adventure last week, checking out a new show there.
I remember when they had the 25th anniversary of Walt Disney World in Florida. I went down there with my camera crew. We were doing a story on it, and the publicist for Disney actually came to me. I wasn't ready for this, and said, "You know, if you would like a private moment with Mickey, you can go to Mickey's house and have a very special moment with Mickey." I said, "Great, bring the camera crew, let's go." So I walk in, and there's Mickey, and two huge Samoan bodyguards with the earplugs in their ears. And we roll tape, and now I forget. The mouse doesn't talk. Private moment with Mickey. I was having a private moment with myself with this mouse.
And a couple of big, beefy guards.
Oh, yeah. So finally, when we stopped tape, I said to the person who was inside the Mickey outfit, I said, "Okay, you can tell me, are you a man or a woman in there?" And all of a sudden, this guard comes up to me and he goes, "Sir, Mickey's the man, Minnie's the woman." I said, "No, I know that, but who's inside this outfit?" He said, "Sir, step away from the mouse." And I mean they really enforce that no talking rule to the point of you will be fired if anything comes out of your mouth.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, so if they're actually experimenting now, here we are in the year 2010. Wow, we can't cure cancer, but we're experimenting with whether or not Mickey's going to be allowed to talk. Wow.
Yes, it looks like it's going to happen. And if you search around on YouTube, you may even find a video of.
And by the way, you know what the first words Mickey. And you know what the first words Mickey's going to say is?
What?
"Get me out of this uniform. I'm sick."
Well, you know, actually, speaking of which, although the women are no longer going to have to wear pantyhose at Disney, that doesn't apply to everybody, because if that legwear is part of your character costume, such as Tinkerbell or Alice from Alice in Wonderland, you're still stuck in the
pantyhose. There's always that asterisk. Okay, in the last couple of minutes, we got Mexico tourism. It's tough now, isn't it?
It is very, very tough. In fact, the president of Mexico has just announced a whole new campaign to try to repair their image there. The bottom line there is, yes, there's tons of drug violence. It's very upsetting. But none of it is aimed at tourists. It has affected some tourist destinations, but it's not like people are shooting at tourists.
Well, here's the other thing that people need to know. You know what the one country is that's got the highest murder rate in the world? You're never going to guess. It's Thailand. It's Thailand. But no Americans ever get killed. It's Thais versus Thai. You know what number two is? Jamaica. It's Jamaicans against Jamaicans. And now 22,700 people killed in Mexico in the drug wars. But Mr. and Mrs. Schmidlap on the beach in the Riviera Maya, they're in. All right. Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times, thank you for putting all that in perspective for us. And we'll let the pantyhose alert. Oh, wait a minute. I got it. Mickey's first words. "I'm not wearing pantyhose." Okay, that's it. I'm done. Jane Engel from the Los Angeles Times, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And coming up next, you thought only the best chocolate comes from Switzerland? Well, you better think again. Back from Kona Village on the Big Island of Hawaii with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
It's 33 minutes after the hour on the Kona Village Resort here on the Big Island of Hawaii, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, question, phone number, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. Question that most of you probably won't get, and that is, what's the biggest crop grown in Hawaii? Well, believe it or not, it's marijuana, but let's forget that for the moment because we're not talking about that. But what's the most surprising crop now being grown in Hawaii when you think about it as a crop? I use that word loosely. It's chocolate. It's cocoa. And it's been going on since the year 2000, and perfect climate for it, perfect humidity for it. And not bad tasting, I might add. And joining me right now is the guy who put it all together in a rather surprising way, Bob Cooper. Hey, Bob.
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Okay, wait a minute. First of all, how long have you lived on the island?
Since 97.
What brought you here?
A leap of faith.
But you didn't wake up one morning and say, I have to have chocolate, let's move to the Big Island.
No, we didn't know chocolate grew on trees.
So, okay. What brought you here then? You said leap of faith. What?
Well, we always wanted to live in Hawaii.
Where are you from?
North Carolina.
I can't tell from that accent. Okay. And North Carolina, known, of course, as the chocolate capital of America.
That's correct.
Okay, liar. Okay, now, you came over here to do what?
Well, we came over for a gentler, kinder way of life, but we jumped out of the frying pan right into the fire.
So you got here and just said, I need chocolate?
What? No, we bought a cocoa plantation. The trees were there.
What did you know about cocoa?
Diddly squat. Nothing.
Oh, that's the diddly squat plantation. Okay, I'm just making sure we got that right. All right, so you really decided to reinvent yourself here.
That's
correct. Really what you did. Now, okay, so you found out it grows on trees. There's a surprise.
Yeah.
And was there somebody there to guide you and say, whatever you do, Bob, don't do this?
Well, once we realized that we had the beans and we didn't have any markets to sell the beans, we knew we had to take them to the finish line. So we hired a consultant, made our first batch of chocolate year 2000.
Okay, I got to stop you again. You just decided one day, let's buy a cocoa plantation?
Well, yeah, we liked the place, and it had to have on the property cacao trees.
Ah, okay, so that was incidental.
That's correct.
Okay, so now you said, oh, we got all these beans, now what do we do?
That's right.
And you do, of course, what everybody does who doesn't know what they're doing, you hired a consultant. And then what happened?
Well, we made our first batch of chocolate, and here we are.
Wait a minute, and how bad was it?
It was not bad.
Was it really good?
It was good. See, Mother Nature gives us a flavor. We just take the flavor to the finish line.
Okay, I've got to ask you as a chocolatier now. I can call you a chocolatier now.
Sure.
Okay? All right. Why is it now that the biggest buzzword in the world is cacao?
Cacao.
Everybody has to say cacao. It's like it's made with 89% cacao. Like 3 years ago, nobody said that at all.
Right.
Why?
Well, about 10 years ago, the industry felt like that a consumer should be better informed by putting the percentage of nib mass on the chocolate bars. And that's not only the nib itself, but also the cocoa butter. So it's all the cocoa components. And now people are more informed about the quality of the chocolate, dark chocolate particularly, by the percentage of nib mass that's printed on the label.
Now, is dark chocolate becoming more popular?
Much more.
It is, isn't it?
It's very medicinally involved.
And that's your excuse?
Well, no. It has antioxidants in it.
Ah.
Yeah. Polyphenols, antioxidants, stuff of that nature, can really be very beneficial for you from a medicinal standpoint.
You've changed just in the 3 minutes you talked.
Yeah.
Now,
actually, chocolate, milk chocolate, some people won't eat dark. They want the milk. And milk is good because you're getting those antioxidants, which are naturally in the meat of the chocolate. But once milk is added, that serves as an inhibitor to the free expression of the antioxidants. So it's healthier to eat dark chocolate over milk.
You've just ruined my day. But here's the bottom line. This is a brave new world for you.
Oh, it is.
Now, how many different kinds of chocolate are you making now?
We make milk and dark. We can't do white because white chocolate is only cocoa butter, milk, sugar. So we can't acquire 100% of Hawaiian cocoa butter because there are no expeller facilities in the state of Hawaii.
I hate when that happens.
So we can only do milk and dark. We could do a white chocolate.
But you do different kinds of milk and dark, don't you?
Well, we do milk and dark.
Let me guess. I have to ask. Chocolate-covered macadamias?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't go anywhere without that.
Well, there's three varieties of cacao: Forastero, Criollo, and Trinitario. And we do. There's not
you
a lot.
Show off.
There's not a lot of Trinitario around, but we do the Criollo and the Forastero. Forastero, 85% of the world's chocolate comes from that variety. Less than 10 to 15% comes from Criollo.
And people can come visit you.
Oh yeah.
And you have a tour.
Yeah. We're the only entity in an industrialized nation that grows and makes chocolate.
Your company?
My company.
Really? That's a sad statement when you think about it.
Yeah.
You're the last of the cacaos. A little known Indian tribe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, cacao will grow 15 to 20 degrees north to south of the equator, and we're 18 degrees on this island.
And nobody told you that before you bought that estate.
That's right. And this is the only place in America chocolate will grow quantitatively for the purposes of cultivating.
And the name, of course, is the original, opposed to the original North Carolina, the original Hawaiian chocolate factory.
That's correct.
And I can take a tour.
You certainly may.
But the most important thing is, can I sample?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah.
Yeah, we do samplings.
Yeah. Where's Peter? Oh, he's getting more antioxidants. Bob Cooper, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that.
Thank you for inviting me.
Cacao. I'm just going to say that all day long. Can I do that?
You can do that.
Okay, I will. When we come back, how about this? The most traveled man in the world, our good pal Charles Wheeler. He's been to more places than anybody else on the planet. And he's going to talk about some places that you may not have even been to in Hawaii. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Can you say it after me? Cacao. Right after these messages.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 minutes after the hour. Every time I talk to my next guest, the numbers keep going up like a bad Jerry Lewis tote board during a telethon. He's now visited 822 distinct destinations, countries, territories, autonomous regions, enclaves, geographically separated island groups, and major states and provinces around the world. That's about 94% of the world. He only has about another 50 to go. And I guess he's the most traveled person in the world. You can check out his website to see how you rank up against him. I actually did that. I didn't do too badly, but I can't even come close. The name of the website, mosttraveledpeople.com. His name, Charles Wheeler. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Peter. Bad Jerry Lewis telethon, huh? Thank you.
Well, hey, every time I look at this tote board, you keep going up and up and up. Where was the last place you went?
I was in Russia. That was the last real interesting one, and we barely made a connection. It was in the nuclear tunnel.
The last time I talked to you, you were in an abandoned nuclear missile silo.
That's right. Barely got out alive. It was the riding down on the missile like Slim Pickens.
And where was that located? Where was it?
Oh, that was called Gudym, which is in Chukotka. That's the abandoned town, ghost town. Chukotka is the part that looks out at Alaska, looking out over Sarah Palin's house. And it was also the province that Roman Abramovich, the owner of Chelsea and one of the biggest oligarchs in Russia, was assigned to be governor of.
Wow. Now, you know we're coming to you from the Big Island, one of my favorite places in the United States. I love coming over to Hawaii. Most people don't realize that many of my relatives are actually Hawaiian. So I've had a chance to go to a lot of places, but you've gone to a couple of places that most people who come to Hawaii never go to.
Well, that's correct. Well, so, of course, number one on that list is the Forbidden Island of Niihau, which is not really forbidden. I mean, anyone who knows about it can and has a little bit of money can get on a helicopter and take a tour. However, they do not let you interact with the locals. So they maintain the separate population. The Robinson family, who owns the sugar cane there, has maintained a separate population from the Kauaians. And their first language is their native dialect. So English is second. And they keep them totally apart, and they're off on their own. And you can go and visit for the day in the helicopter, or you can even arrange hunting tours for that. The way they keep their the animal population down is they let other people do the work for them, bring them over for hunting tours.
Wow. Well, you know, when I first heard about Niihau, I realized that the state of Hawaii actually provides school teachers there. They have to be bilingual. They come over on a boat, but nobody's allowed to talk to the people other than the school teachers. They are very, very keen on preserving that culture.
It's absolutely true. And so when you do go over there, if you do go for the day tour, you don't go near the town. You might fly by and get to have a look from the helicopter at the town, but then you go to a deserted beach that's at least 10 miles away from the town, and you can have your own private island for the day. It's the driest island in Hawaii, so you're guaranteed the sunshine and beach combing, and it's very interesting. But when I went, we got very lucky because the chief mayor head guy was on Kauai, and he needed a ride, so he needed to get back to the island, and we had the helicopter chartered out for my family, and we brought him there. I got a picture and a handshake, and we landed him right near the town. So that was a big thrill for me.
So you actually had a little bit of interaction. Now, we're, of course, on the Big Island. What are your favorite places on the Big Island?
Oh, of course, the Volcanoes National Park is fascinating and unique. You know, having been to volcanoes all around the world, this is one where you can really get up close and personal with the lava. And, of course, you should call ahead. If you do have any flexibility, you should call ahead and find out just what is the situation, whether it's flowing and whether it's accessible. Otherwise, you can show up and find not too much, just some steam.
Although I will tell you this, Charles, the one of the best places to do stargazing is on the Big Island. You've never seen a night sky until you've come here.
Oh, unbelievable. And that's why the observatory is up on top of the mountain. Yeah, it's really terrific. You know, another thing that I did a few years ago that was really unique, and it looks like they might get it going again, it's called Flumen the Ditch. And that is a series of culverts that they used to use to irrigate the pineapples. And you get into a little kayak and you float down the ditch. It's like a combination of tubing, Hawaiian style. You go through the tunnels and it's
not bad, man. Charles Vili and his kayak and his tubing and his ditch, his stargazing, and of course his little tour of Niihau, the Forbidden Island. You can read more about Charles at mosttraveledpeople.com. Next time we talk to him, maybe he'll hit the big 100%. Back with more from the Big Island right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Kona Village on the Big Island of Hawaii. 82 acres here, 125 thatched hut villas, no TVs, no telephones. You actually have to talk to the person you're with. Oh my God, what a concept. Anyway, we're just talking to Charles Vili about his trips throughout the islands, including to the Forbidden Island of Niihau and some other special places here on the Big Island. But one of the people who knows the Big Island better than just about anybody is my next guest, Rob Pacheco, who's the owner and president of Hawaii Forest and Trail. Now, Rob, you came here initially as a beekeeper.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Now, how did you discover everything else then?
Well, once I got here, I just got enamored with the place, and I was a naturalist. I worked as a naturalist in Colorado, and just started exploring. It's if you love nature and love to explore, this place just draws you to it.
You know, one of the big problems I have with most of my fellow Americans is they will come to a beautiful resort like Kona Village or like so many other beautiful resorts in all the other neighbor islands, and they'll never leave the resort, and they miss out on so much.
No, you can't blame them. You know, you get down to a place like this, it's hard to get out of here.
All right, thank you for that plug, but that's not going to get you off the hook. I want to know, because it's what you do. You get them out of the resort, don't you?
We do. Yes, we do, and we do a good job at it. So this island is, it's the kind of place where our guests come back and back because they leave this island with so much that they didn't get to do. And there's, oftentimes we talk about climate zones in Hawaii. On this island, we have 10 of the world's 13 climate zones. And what that means is there's this incredible diversity of life here. And that life you can experience by getting out and exploring.
Now, you take people, you push the envelope a little bit.
We do a little bit, yeah. But our stuff's pretty.
I'm not saying it's thrill-seeking behavior, I'm saying in terms of where you're taking them, it's not necessarily in the brochure.
No, well, it's in our brochure.
I'm not talking about your brochure, buddy. I'm talking about when people come here with certain expectations of having the luau and wearing the hula skirt and, you know, eating a pig. You're going a little bit beyond that.
We do. We take people through. We get them through lock gates. We get it through on private property where people don't have access to, which this island being so big, it has large landowners, and a lot of these beautiful places are locked up. Are there permit areas that are state or federal lands?
So you take them over to Kahala?
We take them up to Kohala, up the north end, the very old part of the island for waterfalls. We go up to the summit of Mauna Kea.
And by the way, this isn't just waterfalls you look at. These are waterfalls you're going to be in.
Yeah, we have a couple streams that come together, and we have about 8 different swimming holes and multiple waterfalls on that trail.
And then bird watching. You know, you say to somebody bird watching, you immediately get the stereotypical, you know, feeling of somebody who's 80 years old with binoculars going, oh, there's a finch. A little bit different, huh?
It is a little bit different. Birding's big time. You know, there's a lot of birders all over the place. And bird watching, especially in Hawaii, we're not like the neotropics where you go out and there's hundreds and hundreds of species to go after. We've got, you know, a small population, so we get to do a lot of other stuff on our birding trips. But they're pretty special birds. They're birds that exist nowhere else on the planet.
Like?
Like Eevee. It's a bird, our logo bird. This is a bird that's a honeycreeper. It's a family of birds that evolved from a single finch that made it here long ago. And in evolutionary terms, this family of birds, that's the best example of that process in the world. It's also the most endangered family of birds on Earth. There have been more extinctions in that bird family than any other bird family, and so it's pretty neat and special to see these birds.
Plus, you're able to educate people who come for the first time because they had no clue.
That's right. The story of Hawaii is one that you don't get when you come and just read the regular tour stuff or what the experience is, because that natural history story of how the Hawaiian Islands came to be here and how life came to be here, including the human life, you know, the story of the Polynesians coming here and the Hawaiians developing their own culture. That's a story that's repeated in the plants, in the insects, in the birds. It's a really amazing, amazing story.
What's the biggest surprise when you take people out outside the resort that they weren't expecting?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is how excited people are to see cows.
Oh, stop.
There's all these city folks come here.
You're not going to put a cow over me on that.
I don't know. But, no, you know, I think what it is people.
I love it. Why don't you sell a T-shirt that said, I went to the Big Island and I got to see a cow.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. Or a bull. You know, people buy our tours. They're kind of trophy seekers. They want to swim under a waterfall. They want to go to the top of the mountain. They want to see a rare bird. They want to see red lava. But what
and
we
you
do,
give them a stupid cow.
Yeah, that's right. But no, what we give them is we give them this experience that really deepens and helps them make a connection to the place in a way that they didn't really expect.
You're dressing up the cow as a bird. Now I know.
there's oftentimes birds on the cow.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're.
No, but you're going a little bit outside the envelope to give them that.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're getting off-road. We have great vehicles that do that with. We have 6-wheeled Pinsgauers that go off-road or customized 4-wheel drive vans that get us to the top of the summit.
And I should tell people, when you're coming to Hawaii and you're renting a car, there's no need for you to rent a Jeep with 4-wheel drive because you're not allowed to go off-roading on any Jeep whatsoever unless you're going with Rob, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're going on private property on that.
A lot of our tours are on private property. That's correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
You got a website, buddy?
Hawaii-forest.com.
All right. Rob Pacheco, thanks for joining us. And if I come back here again and I see a cow directing traffic, I'm going to know you had something to do with it.
All right.
All right? You're aloha. Busted on that. Hey, aloha to you, pal. All right. When we come back, our next hour, tons of stuff going to be joining us. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. But for those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from Kona Village on the Big Island of Hawaii. And if you want any more information on anything you've listened to on this show, of course, everything we do is archived on our website, petergreenberg.com. And one housekeeping note, please go to our website, petergreenberg.com, to get a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that essential work in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and of course, in the Gulf because of the oil spill. Check it out. You can get involved. In fact, you should get involved. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Big Island of Hawaii right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.